Hola, bonjour, hello. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible to have a world language class where instead of teaching the language, the rules, and the vocab, you and your students use the language to enjoy learning about each other and the world? I hope your answer is a big yes, because that's exactly what you will discover inside Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. My name is Claudia Elliott, a Spanish teacher born and raised in Colombia, who is as passionate as you are to support our learners to grow in their proficiency and cultural competence. My goal is that in this podcast you find clarity, strategies, ideas, and inspiration that you can bring into your classroom the next day. Are you ready? Get comfortable while I grab my cafecito colombiano and let's start this conversation now. Hola, bonjour, hello. Welcome to a new episode of Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. If you are new to this podcast, my name is Claudia Elliott. I'm a Spanish teacher. I live in the United States, but I am from Colombia. And in this podcast, I share with you everything that I have learned about second language acquisition, the experience in my class, and the best part, the part that I enjoy the most, is when I have guests, because you and I learn from other amazing educators. And this is a great treat for everyone, because I don't have one. I have two, and I have two of my compatriotas, Valentina Correa and Carolina Gomez, both from Colombia, that are here to share with you. If you don't know Valentina or Carolina, you need to follow them on Instagram. They are amazing. They share so many great content and ideas for our classes. And if you are a high school teacher or middle school teacher, don't go anywhere. Because what I have learned is that elementary school teachers like Valentina and Carolina have so much to share, not only that is applicable for elementary school teachers, but for every single world language teacher. So I have learned a ton from them, and I'm super excited to have them today to talk to you about games and how we can boost engagement in our classes with games. So Valentina, Carolina, bienvenidas. Welcome to Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. And tell us a little bit about you. Valentina, can you start and tell us a little bit about you and your journey as a Spanish teacher?
Claro. Hola, Claudia. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Valentina, and as you say, I'm Colombian. I was born and raised in Colombia, and I have been here in Chicago 18 years. It's going to be this summer. I teach elementary currently. I teach pre-K, kindergarten, first and second grade, but I have experience teaching all elementary and middle school as well. But I have to tell you that my heart is with elementary students.
Great. Valentina, which grade? What is your favorite of all the grades from pre-K to five? What is your favorite?
Well, this is a little secret that I hope no one in my school hears, but I love teaching third, fourth, and fifth grade. And currently, I do not teach those grades.
So maybe next year we need to manifest. We need to do the manifestation. We need to manifest that Valentina needs third, fourth, and fifth grade. So universe, listen, because we're talking to you. Okay, Carolina, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, everyone. Claudia, thank you so much for inviting us. My name is Carolina Gomez, and I live in Boston. And I'm also from Colombia. I like to say that my accent has a coffee flavor. I have been teaching for a long time. And how did I make it to the teaching career? Well, I actually didn't want to be a teacher at first. I wanted to be a biologist marine, but you know, this exam that we have in Colombia called IFEX.
I remember.
Yeah, so I ended up being in modern languages, which I actually think it was the best to be. It was like the best accident ever. So I have been teaching for a long time and I really, really love it. I also have a master's in intercultural relations and I try to apply that also to the teaching of Spanish. I currently teach from pre-K through third grade, but I have experience teaching babies, elementary, middle, and adults. I don't have any experience with high schoolers. I'm a little bit afraid of them. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe someday I will get to...
I'm telling you, if you can handle pre-Ks and Ks and first graders, you absolutely are equipped to handle high schoolers because they're bigger. That's it. They're just bigger, but a lot of the same things happen in the upper level. So you are perfectly equipped. I am very proud at this moment. Estoy tan orgullosa because this is like a lot of Colombians from different places and different stories. So I am so excited to be here. I am really, really proud. Because I think our journeys are kind of similar. Like we were raised in Colombia and we don't only are coming here with a different culture and trying to like figure it out how this work and how you can. And I don't know if it happens to you the first times in your meetings with all these abbreviations like IPs, 504s, and yes. All these like, what are they talking about? Like, is that a beer? IPAs. Like I was really thinking that IPA was like a beer and it wasn't.
I still have trouble with those terms in high school because I don't teach them. And I'm like, what?
I know.
And
it's like
I was I'm a teacher by accident as well because I didn't study to be a Spanish teacher. So
what did you study, Valentina?
I studied theater. I have a bachelor's degree in theater and acting. So a lot of the things that I learn in my university, I use them in my classroom.
Oh, but that's great because that really, I mean, I study law. I mean, I was a lawyer. What is that going to help me in this? Like, nothing. So at least your degrees help you somehow. But mine, I have a master's in law. I mean, I have my degree in law. And then I have my master's in international business law. I mean, like, nothing is applicable. So, I mean, we're here. So
I kind of feel like communication, you know, like you kind of have to be a good communicator when you have those degrees. So I think.
And I think we are all English learners. So I think we have experienced firsthand the pain, the pain of, you know, understanding a tone. And then when you're trying to say like, okay, it was a great idea. I don't know what happened, but it was a great idea. So okay, so today here we're talking about games, and I want to talk to you about like some games. I have seen some of the games that you use in your class, and I wanted to share with our audience some of the games that we can use any time of the year, but we're recording this in the last quarter of the school year, and this last quarter seems to be very heavy for teachers. So can you just share a few games that you use in your class that have been super successful for you? And I don't know who wants to start.
Okay, I will start with one that I was inspired by Card Talk. And I do want to say this, Claudia, because, you know, when I used to go to the conference before, when I was not like presenting, I was just like, you know, somebody that, you know, wanted to learn. I always have to adapt everything that I learned in conferences because most of the teachers were high school or middle school, but it was not a lot of information for elementary students. So me as a teacher, I always have to adapt. Everything that I saw, I have to adapt for my little ones because, you know, the level is a novice level, but they are also very young. So I was like, okay, I need to start adapting. And I was inspired by Card Talk. I'm sure that a lot of you are familiar with this. If you are not, it's basically at the beginning of the school year, I give this to my second graders. They have notebooks, and in the notebook, they basically do the card talk in the cover of the notebook. And then in each corner, they have to do something that they enjoy. So, for example, a tradition that is important for their family. In the other corner, they have to draw their favorite food. In the other one, an activity or a sport that they play. And the name goes in the middle and they color with their favorite color. And this activity, I call it chocala, just like we say in Colombia, high five. And so what I do is at the beginning of the school year, we start with just the notebooks empty. They draw their favorite things. And then when they come in the classroom, they grab their notebook. And then I play some music and then they start walking around. And when I stop the music, they have to talk and share with the person that is next to them. And so they start sharing me gusta. And I usually only use the word me gusta because it's the beginning of the school year. So me gusta. And then la comida favorita, I like broccoli. Me llamo Valentina. Activity, me gusta fútbol. Tradición, me gusta Navidad. Me gusta Christmas. And then one partner shares, the other one shares the same. So my favorite food is broccoli. And then the other student says my favorite food is pizza. My favorite color is green. And if they have something in common, they say chocala, and they give together a high five. Then I play the music again. They have to walk again, and then they cannot talk with the same partner. They always have to find a new partner. And I love it because it creates community. They get comfortable with the language since day one. And you can see that sometimes they do it in English, but it's okay. My goal as a teacher at the beginning of the school year is just building community. And then during the school year, I add more things. So in the back cover, we will add more things since, you know, I see my students are learning more and more. And then we keep playing that game during the school year. So it's a wonderful game to play. It creates community, and it's wonderful to share their favorite activities and things to do.
Valentina, I love, first of all, what you say. I think it's such a great skill to adapt, right? Like, I think, and I think even though you're learning from high school teachers in a lot of the conferences and adapting to your elementary school teachers, I think we all have to adapt because the students that you have are not the same as Carolina. So even if Valentina is teaching pre-K and Carolina is teaching pre-K, I'm sure that you guys have to adapt. And that's what makes like amazing teachers, is really knowing your audience and think that you work for your audience. And I'm thinking right now when you were talking, I say, what a great game. And then how we can adjust it for the upper levels or for the, you know, for level 3 or 4, because, you know, first one, me gusta, I like a great structure, but then we can say, where did you go? So a lot of students are going to spring break right now, right? Like, so tell me one place that you went, one thing that you did, and one, I don't know, movie or show that you watch. And it's going to be 3 structures. I went, I did whatever it is, and I watch, yo vi. And then you can play the same thing. And it would be like a perfect thing to come back on a Monday. Or you can do it on a Friday for things that you want to do that weekend, a place that you want to go, an activity that you want to do, and, you know, a movie that you want to watch. And it's just the same concept that is going to keep students up and moving, sharing, connecting, creating this community. And it's all student centered. I love that game, Valentina. Chocala. High five.
Well, you were saying this, it came to my mind too, because I don't teach high school, but you could use past tense, and then you can tell them, think about when you were 5 years old, what was your favorite game? So the activity that they had when they were 5 years old, you know, like the things that they used to do. And so you take them back to the past and you are still talking about them.
Absolutely. And it's about them. And this is what I love. And I was talking to another teacher the other day, and they were saying, my students just don't use Spanish in class. And I say, it takes a lot of patience, because exactly like you said, sometimes they're going to go to English. But the more you do this game, the more you do this routine and embed it in your classes and use the same language over and over and over, there is going to be one time that they're going to just go and switch to Spanish and is not going to look back. And it's just patient, and it's a great, great routine, because it's so low prep on you, right? As a teacher, like, you don't think about it. You can do it, you know, tomorrow. Okay, so we have the first game is Chocalo. Next game.
The next game is called Me Gusta, but before we move to my Me Gusta, it's actually called a Mi También, Me Too. But before we go into the game, what you're saying, Claudia, you know, like, we have to give our students language when they are at the novice level. So if we can use games that have that language that our students can use to communicate during the game, that's going to be great too. If we want them to stay in the target language, then give them some of the language. And that's why I like this game. It's also very similar to Valentina. You know, you could use this game at the beginning of the school year. It's called A Mí También, and I adapted this game from Responsive Classroom. The game in responsive classroom is called Just Like Me, but I decided that a mí también sounded better, me too. And what I do is at the beginning of the school year, I give my second and third graders a card, and the card said, me gusta. And what they do is they can draw one or two things that they like. So we take these cards, we make a circle. Sometimes I have to look at the pictures too and try to figure out what they are drawing in the pictures. So sometimes I might ask them, can you tell me really quick what this picture is? because I have to try to figure it out, because I only ask them to draw the picture and I'm going to be the one helping with the language. So to give you an example, I can end up with a card that says, me gustan las fresas. I like strawberries. So I have to make sure that I know what it is, right? So we mix up all those cards that I collected from each of my students. We make a circle, and then I pull out the cards and I start reading, for example, the card that says, me gustan las fresas, I like strawberries. And then if there is someone else in the room that likes strawberries, they will stand up and they will say, a mí también. And then we keep going until we use all the cards. The best thing about this is just giving the students also the time to make the cards. I save the cards. I just don't use them during the beginning of the school year. I use them anytime. Another idea is you can give them the same cards and then the children can keep adding more things that they like in the cards. And it's perfect to talk about things that they like. Adapting this to a higher level, maybe the students, instead of drawing, they can also draw, but they can also maybe write a sentence and say why. Mm-hmm. It would be like, I like strawberries because
they are sweet.
They are sweet. Mm-hmm. So extending it a little bit more. Other levels.
I love it. And you can add, because you want to add, start adding details, and you can say, you know, like maybe the first time you say only what I like. And then the next time you can pass out the cards and say with whom. So con, and okay, then when, and then, you know, just, or and, like, you know, like add some details, and then you can really have, like, for example, say, I like strawberries, and then everybody stand up, but then you continue and say with, and then say with sugar, and then some, you know, have to sit down. And then you can like say, okay, so whoever ends at the end standing up, just you get a point. And you know, what I love about these games is that they're so different than the games that a lot of the high school teachers want to play, because we want to play for a win. Like we want to play for a win, and we need points, and like how many points this, how many points that. But these games are like not about, it's just like, let's have fun. Let's just see what we know, what we have in common. And I think we need more of that. And then you can change your structure. You can say, you know, what I would like to do. Like, see, if I had $1 million, I would buy, or I would, and then you finish, and then we collect the cards, and then say who else would do the same thing. And then it's just the same activity, but you can level it up, level it down, do drawings, do writing, add details, no add details. But at the end, you have the same. And I love the fact, Carolina, that you're saving those cards. Mm-hmm. Because it's just less work, and you can have them ready in a Ziploc bag for those days, for those moments that are like, okay, I have 10 minutes left. I'm not going to start a new activity. I can do this, and it will be just like a really great sponge activity.
And elementary students actually really like when they make something and we save it and then we get to reuse it. They are proud of that. So
high school kids do the same. High school kids do the same. And I think that's why, you know, I don't know if you have seen on social media, little kids in like lower levels, how excited they are. Like they're jumping up, they're raising their hand. They want to go for it. They want to take a risk. They are just a lot. And then you go to the upper levels and these kids are like sleeping on their phone. They want to say anything. They don't want to raise their hand. And there is a lot of things that we're missing in high school. And that's why when we bring that, when we have students to draw something and then we use those drawings, they get the same excitement. So I just think that it works exactly the same for upper level kids. Okay, so we have Chocala, we have me too, and what else?
Wait, Claudia, I want to mention something about what you say, that you say that elementary teachers do these games just to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I think Carolina, because Carolina and I, we talk a lot. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, friends. We talk. She's always my community. I don't know. Like, I need something.
Professional Learning Network here.
Exactly.
She's your PLC.
Exactly. So we talk a lot about this, how we do not like competition, not because we don't like it. It's because elementary children are very different. And when you do these competitions with points, or when you try to make a group better than the other one, at the end, you have someone that is going to be crying. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't win. This is not what I wanted. And then, you know, you don't want to have tears in a student. So we try to do games where we just do it for joy. Everybody's enjoying the game. It doesn't matter who wins. And, you know, we always have to remind them this, like, this is not a competition. This is just about learning and making mistakes. It's okay. You know, we are just having a good time. Because of that, we have elementary students, and high school is totally different. They go with the points, they are competitive, but for us that doesn't work. So we talk about this all the time.
But I want to like challenge teachers, high school teachers, and I want to challenge them because they're gonna think, oh, my kids are not going to play that because we don't have points. I want you to play it, and I want to see, because I know, like, I mean, there's so many games because I'm so bad. Like, I'm a mess when I'm teaching. Like, I'm in everywhere. I lose everything. So I cannot keep up with points. Like, I cannot keep up with points. There is no way that I can keep up with a point. My students are so used to it that we put something, but nobody really knows who wins, who doesn't, because we don't keep up with the things. And at the end, we just love to play games. So I think sometimes of course they love competition, and bring a competition is great, but playing those games is also great for them. That like variety is just great. Okay.
Like about this type of games, I'm sorry that I'm interrupting you, Claudia.
No, go ahead.
It's that they bring community, you know, like you're playing as a group and it's not like individual. So mm-hmm. It's just like a reminder, like here we are all in community learning, you know, like being in a target language together. So I really like those type of games because of that. So
I agree. Okay, so we have Chocala, we have Me Too. Something else.
This one is one game that I use when I finish a story. So this one, I think it will be really easy to adapt for any level. And I call it El Artista, the artist. And so what you need to do is you have to have these small whiteboards, individual whiteboards, and then you are going to partner up your students in groups of two. And then what you do is you're going to write sentences in the whiteboard. I usually write five because I am with elementary, very simple sentences like el gato tiene hambre, hay un perro, something that they are familiar with, a story that you just finished. And then what you do is you tell them that you're going to give them 40 seconds. And I say, I'm not looking for the best artist. I'm just looking for you to read and understand what you're reading. And you have 40 seconds to draw on your whiteboard something that you pick from the whiteboard. So they have to pick one of those sentences and the other student is not looking, the partner. So when the 40 seconds are up, then you say, okay, tiempo. The student number one is going to show the art. And the student number two has to read and say the sentence that the number one drew. And then after you switch, you give 40 seconds to the other one. And then you keep doing it. They love it because they are drawing. They are talking to each other. It's a guessing game. There is no competition. It's for joy. They are also reading. They are using vocabulary that you use in a story. So that one is a great game and you can use it anytime. Even if you don't have a story, you can just write sentences that they are familiar with. So low prep.
Love it. Low prep. I mean, we love a low prep game and this is great. And if you don't have a whiteboard, use a piece of paper. So if you don't have a whiteboard, you can use like a white piece of paper, fold it in half, and then use the four different sides, and then you have four sentences, and that will work really well. So I love that game. So how do you call El Artista, the artist? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have Chocala, the artist, And me too. Okay, more games.
Okay, so this one, I like to say that I was the one who created this game, but I don't know, maybe somebody else thought of it. But I use a Kleenex box.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do, and I forgot the name. The name of this game is Salud. So it will be more like bless you.
Okay, okay.
Salud. And I just use, a box of Kleenex. I kind of use tape so I could reuse the box. And inside the box, I made little pieces of fabric. And with permanent marker, I wrote questions on every piece of fabric, kind of pretending that those are the little tissues inside the box.
Oh, how cool.
And I use them for questions like, what's your name? What's your favorite color? What's like, just to give you an example, what's your favorite season? So I put different questions in the box. And we, as a class, sit in a circle. Then I played music and the students passed the box while we're playing the music. When the music stops, the student who has the box takes out one of the Kleenex. Usually they pass them to me because, you know, at this level, they still need help. So I read the Kleenex to them. And it might say, I don't know, what's your favorite color? And then the student has to reply, answer the question. And then once the student answers the question, the student says, achoo! And the whole class says,
salud! Oh, my God.
I love
it. We keep passing it, and they all want to get a turn so we can say, salud, and they get to say, true. The only thing is that you have to be clear, right? Like before, pre the pandemic, we were not thinking about all those things, like don't use the little Kleenex to pretend that you're really doing true on the Kleenex. So now you got to talk a little bit more about that, like just pretend, say true, and then we'll say salud. That's
it. Oh my gosh, I love that game. And in the upper levels, what you can do, I mean, this is so good, is you can have your students to create the questions. Because at that upper level, they can do basic questions. So we're going to write questions. And if you're in a thematic unit, you can ask questions about your unit. So if you're reading a book, is you can say, where is the main character from? And what is the problem? What happened first? This and that. Is this true or false? And do it like that. And then you wouldn't have to create the questions. And then, oh my God, this is so good. I'm going to play that. Oh my God. I'm going to play all these games.
You have to get the Kleenex, the box.
But it's so cute, Carolina. I mean, like, achoo, salud. I mean, like, everybody would love that game.
And they also learn how to say salud, which is great.
I know. It's part of
music. The other part is that you get to play music while they pass the box around. So, yeah.
And I mean, it's just perfect. It's just a really, really great game. Oh, my God. So, salud or bless you. That would be perfect. Perfect game. Okay, so we have four. We have salud. I mean, I really like salud. That is such a great game. And it can be applied for anything. It's so cute. Okay. Salud. We have chocolate. We have me too. We have el artista. Do we have any other games?
I have another one that my students loved. And I started playing this game inspired in a Colombian game that you might be familiar with that is called Caliente Frio, when you mm-hmm. have something. And I used to play that when I was a little girl. Like
me
my
too.
Mom would hide things around the home and she would be caliente, caliente. So would you say caliente when you are getting closer to the object, and then you say frio if you are getting far away from the object. So I was like, okay, I love this game, but I also want to use the language in the classroom. So I call this game Busca Busca. And then there are basically three words that my students need to know. One is si me gusta, no me gusta, and busca. So I choose one of the students. This student is not going to look at the class, but everybody else is going to look at me. And I have the object. And if I'm teaching something like a topic, I do stories, but let's say it's a story about winter, then I will have like a snowflake. And so if it's, you know, a story about clothes, it could be a piece of clothing or something. And so you hide the object around the room and everybody sees where you are hiding it. So everybody's engaged because they have to see where you are hiding it. And then you call the student and then you say, okay, come on, you can come in. We are going to guide you. And then the student makes one step. And this is really important because I practiced this before. Like I played it before and it was messy at the beginning until I came up with this idea. They start, si me gusta if they are getting closer to the object. No me gusta if they are going in the wrong direction. And when they are really close, they say busca, busca.
Okay,
but
got it.
What I tell them is one step, one word. One step, one word. So the student will do one step and the class will say, si me gusta. Another step, si me gusta. Another step, no me gusta. And then you keep going. And they love, you could play this game for the whole class. And I am pretty sure that you can play with middle school. I was a teacher in middle school. And one of the things that I wanted to say when you talk about like, play, try this game in high school is that sometimes I feel like teachers forget that you are still teaching to kids. I mean, a mm-hmm. high school student is still a kid, right? Mm-hmm. And I will say that it really depends of the way that you as a teacher present the activity. If you present the activity a little ashamed, thinking, oh my God, they are going to laugh at me. They are going to think that, you know, this is too child. Of course, they are going to think that. But if you come confident, you say, we're going to have a great time. And I used to do it with my fifth graders. I used to tell them, guess what? No one is looking at us. If everybody plays it, we're going to have a great time and no one has to know it. And they'll be like, yeah, let's do it. And so I think it really depends on how you present the game. So I'm sure you can try this game with different levels and they will enjoy it. So it's called Busca Busca.
You said so many great things in that comment, you know, so let me try to, because there were so many great points that you made. So the first one is energy. I think today I shared a reel in my Instagram talking about energy. Like we complain a lot about the negative or low energy of our students, because of course, when we come to a class and our students are really disengaged, they don't want to do anything, they're so negative, it impacts us so badly. But the same is the opposite, the reverse, right? We bring energy as the teachers, we bring a ton of energy. So when we are playing these games, for example, and we come like doubting, oh, like, oh, this is not going to work. They're going to think that they're silly. They're going to think that they're silly. But if we come excited about playing the game, we will, for most of the time, transfer that positive energy to our students, especially when we have already established a community and a good relationship with our students. So we build that connection every day and we bring that game and say, I learned this game and we're going to play the game. They're going to say, yes, we are. And then you mentioned something about the question that I was going to ask you about these games. It's like how we can ensure that these games are successful. And you mentioned the first time that I played Busca Busca, it was a disaster. And then I really wanted to play the game because I thought I had fun. These kids are going to have fun. It's a fun game. So I'm going to figure it out. And then you play again and you play again. And after several times that you play the game, you say, okay, now I get it. And I think that is something that we miss sometimes. We hear about a game, we read about a game, and we play the first time, and it's a disaster. And then we say, it's not going to work. We're going to put, and all the learning is going to go bye-bye. It's all because we are not staying with the game. So that is a thing that we really need to think about it as teachers. It's like, sometimes it's just a disaster because we don't have the logistics yet. But as soon as we get the logistics, then we do. And then I love when you say one step, one word, because sometimes it just requires that, like that we get that granular in the instructions. Like it's very specific to have success. So I'm going to ask you the question. You already answered like half of the question, but I wanted to ask you, how can we make sure that this game works? Like, what is your logistics? So what are the things that we can do as a tip to see when you are going to play a game, especially when it's a new game, this is what we need to do. I don't know who wants to answer.
Well, Claudia, for me, I think the most important part is to model the activity. And I learned this from a responsive classroom. It's called interactive modeling. And what you do in interactive modeling, because usually you model the activity and you say, okay, good. That's the difference between modeling and interactive modeling. When you model the activity, just modeling is like, okay, I'm going to do the activity. Now you go and play. And then the students get confused. You are expecting too much from them. They get overwhelmed. So interactive modeling, the difference is that you show how to do the skill. You show them how to play. And I always say, I always, as a teacher, take the first turn. And I always play the games with my students. I think this is so important too. I am always part of the games. Always I play. I never sit on the chair and let them play because I think it's important that they see you enjoying the game. That's part of how you present the activity. So you model the activity and then you ask them, what did you notice? And I ask them in English, what did you notice? And they say, oh, I noticed that you say one word and then we did one step. Great. Okay. Now I need some students who are going to model for us. So interactive modeling, you actually choose people from your classroom and they take turns and then one student come, present the game, play the game, and then you ask them again, what did you notice? Oh, I noticed that he didn't do one step. He did it too fast. And then they start realizing, oh, if I do this, we get overwhelmed. And so that's the difference between modeling and interactive modeling. You have to ask your students to come and model as well because you want to make sure that they understand. One thing is saying it, one thing is seeing it and looking at them and making sure that they understand. And I do this in English because I prefer to say and be clear about my expectations, right? And then once they know the game, we go 100% in Spanish or 95. But I think it's really important that you show them, you model, and they model as well. Then everybody gets to play the game.
I love it. I love it.
Same. I'm also in a responsive classroom school, but I also like sharing with my students the goal of the game. Sometimes the goal of the game is just to have fun. Sometimes it's connected to something that we're doing in class. Sometimes it's a cultural game. So I do like sharing that with them. I also use English the first time when we talk about it, we model and then we talk. But I also try to use visuals sometimes when I'm explaining the games. So next time when we play the game, I can go back over the rules of the game in the target language because they already know how the game is. So the next time we just do it in the target language, and I also try to give it a name. So if, example, I'm going to say, okay, vamos a jugar salud. And I do actually a sign. I wish you could see it, but it's with the fingers. You could actually Google the sign for playing the sign language. And I always do it. So I say, vamos a jugar. And they know that when I go like this, it means that we're going to play. So I try to do that. But yes, using visuals in this time and then I use the target language.
I love it. And again, I mean, I gave so much cantaleta. I complain about my mom. Tan cantaletuda, mi mamá tan cantaletuda. But I am just exactly like that because I just see that happening all the time. And that is the importance that we have this game as part of our routines because exactly what Carolina was saying and Valentina, you spend some time. I mean, if you want a game to work, you need to do the modeling and the interactive modeling that Valentina was mentioning. It's so important. But then if you want to use it in the target language, you need to keep playing the game because right. When you review the routine, the rules, which you have to, you don't think that, okay, I spent 20 minutes doing their interactive modeling. We went through the rules. We play once time and spend 20 minutes. The next time I'm just going to say, oh, let's play salute. And everybody's going to know what they mean because they're not. So no. You're going to have to repeat again. And then in that repetition, you want to try to start using target language. Right. But then if you keep doing that game for the entire year, a few months after that, you're going to be able to use the language, the target language is going to be is going to be less heavy on the students, on you, and is going to create that 95%. Because Carolina mentioned it at the beginning of the episode, is we want to give the language to our students that they need to play the game. So I, you know, in the upper levels, I, you know, my students tend to say a lot in English, cheater. Like, oh, you're a cheater. So I tell them in Spanish, tramposo. So all my, I mean, if you listen to all my videos that I play a game, it's like, tramposa, tramposo, gané. On all the language that we want our students to use. But again, it has to be in a way that is repetitive, is part of your curriculum. So I love that. The interactive modeling, Valentina, that's a great way to do it. And then give a name to the game, go with the visuals, go with the rules, and give the language so you can keep the language, using the target language. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's finish with something that is really important. What happened when the game doesn't work? What happened with that game? You are using Salud for many, many times, but then one day you come and it doesn't work. How can we do troubleshooting games?
Okay, so at that time, I have to read, you know, my classroom. I have to see how my students are feeling. I have to take it of the affective filter, right? Because being honest, you know, there are times like with even simple games like Salud, some students who are competitive might still be like, oh, okay, I took a cleanness out and I wasn't able to answer to the question, or I was able to answer to two questions. So the idea is first read the room and see what's happening right there. It might be that I have to pause and then talk again about the goal of the game. And I always like telling my students, if there is a little bit competition right there, I always say everyone wins. And sometimes they are like, no, that's not true. And I'm like, yes, everyone wins, because we actually are playing the games to practice the language, to be in the language. So I remind them about that, that's a goal with all the games that I do too.
Okay.
For me, Claudia, something that because it happened a lot, like something, not just with games, but with activities that I have in mind, or a story that I'm reading that doesn't work. And I think that recognizing that it's okay not to be perfect. For me, I always say, friends, I don't think this activity is working today. I call my students friends. Yeah. I say, friends, I don't think this activity is working, but I do it in a positive way, actually. So what I say is I tell them what I notice. I say, let's say that we are playing Busca Busca and I have two students who are not playing the game because they're talking to each other. So what I do is I say, okay, friends, I noticed that most of the class is playing the game, but however, there are three friends who are not playing the game, and I don't name them, but they know who they are. So they look at me and they're like, quiet. And sometimes that doesn't work. And I tell them, okay, I notice that it's a lot of energy. I will give you one more chance. I know we can do this. I know you very well. I'm going to give you one more chance. Can we do it together? And they say, yes. And then we try again. I think being patient and being flexible is really important, because sometimes, they're kids. They get too excited, or sometimes they just are talking about what happened in recess, or they are just pulling their hair because it happens all the time. So I think like being flexible is important, and also knowing that if something doesn't work, you need to switch it up. It's fine. Like sometimes I am planning on playing a game and they come with too much energy that I say, oh my God, if I play this game, this is going to be crazy.
Disaster. Yeah.
So what Carolina say, like read your class and know what you need to do. You have to adapt. Sometimes you do one game with one class and then the second grade class, the next one comes. You are like, yeah, I got this. And then you do it. And then you're like, but it's the same activity, same age, same level. I don't get it. Yeah, it's okay. We are not the same. Just adapt the activity or move on, do something different. And also give them the opportunity to repair what they have done.
I think that is such a wise advice. I mean, all of that. And I think it's reading the room, because we are, you know, we're we're dealing with humans. Like, we all are humans and we change and we have different moods and things happen. And I love to say, you know, like in Colombia, when they have like a soap opera that is not having high ratings, they kill the character or they disappear and the soap opera is gone bye-bye because they're reading the audience. I mean, like, the audience is not working with this. And we are sometimes stubborn. Like, we, like, I plan this game and this is what is going to happen and we have to play this game and it's a disaster. And sometimes we just have to adjust. I think, Valentina, I saw an Instagram post or a reel that you did a few days ago talking about that, how you had this plan for your class and it wasn't working and then you had to change. And I think that is so much better for us.
I think, like, what I did was assuming that the students know the game is also not good. I think you need to explain every single detail, even if you think they know it, because they might not know.
And that's actually new to that year, and then might be that too.
And that's what I say in that post. Like, I thought they knew the routines because it's my third year, right, teaching the same students, and then I find out that it was not the case, and I had to go back to basically the beginning of the school year. So you do not assume that your students know anything, because it's not just the games, but any activity that you do, you have to explain every single detail.
And I like that, because if you try also to do every class, you're also giving repetition to your students. So if you try to go over the game again, explain it, as I said, using the visuals, they are hearing the language again too. So that supports that part too.
Absolutely. And I'm saying, I want everybody to be looking at me, because I'm saying, yes, yes, yes. One thing that I started doing 2 years ago was with my expectations. So I used to spend, like, I don't know how many days at the beginning of the school year doing expectations, and then they were gone. Like, I never talk about them. 2 years ago, and I'm teaching seniors, I'm teaching all the levels or upper levels. I'm teaching seniors, I'm teaching AP Spanish, I'm teaching IB Spanish. I mean, like, you know, you say, like, these are junior, senior, they are like high achievers, whatever, they are there. I repeat my expectations every single day. And it has made a huge change. Tell me about cell phones. Like, it has made a huge difference. So the same as game, the same as everything. Like, I think repetition and assuming. And Valentina, and I think it's a little bit easier when you're in elementary school, because they're little kids. So you're like, okay, maybe. And I guess you have more grace and more compassion and more empathy because they're little. But we forget that when they're 17, when they're taller than us, where they look like bigger than us, like they're like so like men and women, like, you know, like, but they still need the same. So I just love all this conversation. I think every single teacher is going to be trying a new game. And if you are, we want to share with us. We want us to tag us in social media. You can tag me at Claudia M. Elliott in Instagram or Facebook. But now I want to ask you where people can find you, because all the content that you share is so great. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing and where we can find you.
Okay. Okay, Valentina, you go first then.
I have my blog where I write, is called profevalentina.com. I write a lot about my experience with elementary. Instagram is the same, profevalentina. I share a lot of videos. But I also share with Carolina a group. We do have a group that is called Elementary Profes Club. And what we do is we have a group of teachers that teach in basically in elementary, and we share ideas. We bring an expert of the month to talk about something. Carolina and I present sometimes, or we will have someone that will come. So this is just like, it's me, but also Carolina and I are like really, we help each other a lot. So this community, we have also a website that is called Elementary Profes Club. And then you can find more information in our website or in our blogs. And Caro, what's your blog?
My blog is Fun for Spanish Teachers. I also share a lot of, you know, my teaching experience, that blog also shows my process of how I have been changing and growing and evolving. And you can find me on Instagram, Fun for Spanish Teachers. That's my handle on Instagram. And yeah, we hope you can also join us in our little community.
I'm sorry, but I have to say thank you for this, because I feel like these conversations are so great. And that's why we have the club, and you have your community with your teachers as well. Because when you talk to teachers, you are sharing ideas, but you're also immediately, so many ideas come to your mind. And so just talking to you today, it gave me so many ideas that I could actually do, you know, like adapting for your levels. I could even adapt my own games or Carolina's games in my levels. So thank you so much for that. It's great that we had this conversation. I wish we could talk more often.
I know. Yeah, I love this.
Like, you're giving us a volume, you know, like, yeah, elementary teachers can also share ideas for high school teachers.
Oh my gosh, you do. And I think we need more of that. I really think, first of all, because I really think language education should start in elementary school. And I think any push that we can do for elementary and advocate for elementary language education is such a big win for everyone. But I also think that joy that you have in your classes, that mentality and mindset of, you know, having compassion, empathy, patience, taking one step at a time, really going one-on-one with your students, being at the level and helping them grow is something that sometimes we forget in the upper levels. And I think every time that I see an elementary teacher, it's so joyful, it's so creative. And then we go to high school and I'm like, oh my God, the subjunctive and the imperfect and the predicate. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be like that. We can keep that. So I am very grateful for you, for your time, for coming and sharing everything that you have with us, with our audience. And I will make sure to add all these links to the show notes, and I will write a little blog post about these games, and I will add it there. And you can find all those blog posts at growingwithproficiency.com. And then if you want to share about, I'm trying this game and I want to share with us, please do like tag us on social media. And if you love this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and to share with others. Valentina, Carolina, mil y mil gracias por esta conversación. Me encantó. Y los dejo a todos. Chao, chao.
And I have Colombia.
Viva Colombia, ¿cierto? Claro, viva Colombia. Okay, chao, chao. Nos vemos pronto. Adiós, everybody.
Chao.